Welcome to High Latitude Healthy. I'm your host, Dr. Eileen Karpfinger. If you live anywhere in the U.S. besides Hawaii, we have cutting-edge science to share with you that can improve your health. Here's to living high latitude healthy. Hello, and welcome to High Latitude Healthy. I'm your host, Dr. Eileen Karpfinger. Today's show is the first show I'm doing about detoxing. And the reason I don't start my patients with detoxing, although I've had for decades, is that detoxing is only effective if we have a thriving energy source, if the mitochondria is alive. And is that if we get the mitochondria working well first, which is what we focused on all the other shows prior to this, then processes like detoxing can be effective. Prior to doing my mitochondrial work, which has been about 4 years now, and it's been 20 or so years that I've been helping people detox, I realized that I'd get about an 80% effective rate with people, and I'd have the ability to help them detox, but some people it just wouldn't work with. And I realized the missing key there was, is their mitochondria working well enough to allow them to have the energy to get the detoxing working? So this show today is dedicated to kidney, liver, and gallbladder detoxing. And with that, the caveat is that it's important for you to make sure that you are energy sufficient enough to do a detox. So I'm sharing this information with you not only to make sure that you check with your trusted health practitioner before embarking on a cleanse, but you should very well also go through some steps to honestly know if detoxing is your effective next step. I'm sharing the kidney, liver, gallbladder detox because spring and fall is the best time to do a liver and gallbladder detox. That time of year when it snows one day and then the next day you can be in shorts because it's 70 degrees. It's sleeting one day and then you've got 3 days of sunshine and then it's slushy again or something like that. That is liver season. And so spring and fall is perfect for this. And I just wanted you to know that right now is a pretty good time to consider doing a good liver detox. Early spring and late fall. And one more thing before you can go into any detox and have it be effective and not just harming your body because you're stirring up a bunch of toxins in your body, it's important to make sure your detox pathways are working properly. Okay, so your detox pathways are your primary organs for cleaning you out. So the lymph system, the liver, kidneys, colon and gut, and your lungs and your skin. And I would say your skin also includes your eyeballs. So let's go through those detox pathways a little bit more. For your skin, you need to be able to sweat. If you are doing any kind of walking or saunaing or playing basketball or doing anything and you're not sweating, that's an issue. Sweating is a good thing. And if you cannot do that, we have to work on that. That would mean hotter saunas for a little bit, maybe shorter, hotter saunas to really like push your body to have a strategy. So sweating is an important thing. And I hope we're all off of antiperspirants and only using deodorants instead of using the thing that stops your body from sweating. They're putting aluminum into your armpits to help you to not sweat, which is just absurd. So sweating is an important detox pathway. Tears. Seriously, if you have no tears, we got to get those tear ducts working. That's an actual detox pathway. Breath is a tremendously important detox pathway. If you don't have any strategy in your daily and weekly practice of breathing strongly, strong, deep breaths, that could be running up a hill or running on a treadmill that is on a steep climbing steps. You could be running or playing soccer or basketball or something like that, or hockey. But if you're not breathing hard on a daily or weekly basis, you're not getting your detox pathways going. I have to have daily urine and at least one bowel movement a day. If you don't have at least one bowel movement a day, we've got to work up to that before you're ready to do a detox. What happens if your body can't eliminate unneeded stuff daily? And so this is signs your pathways are overloaded. That could be fatigue or poor sleep, headaches, skin rashes, or dullness in your skin, or grayness in your skin, stubborn weight gain, digestive issues. When the liver is overworked due to the body's or environmental toxins or stressors, it shunts toxins into adipose tissue, into your fat, and it encapsulates it to act as a storage unit to prevent them from circulating in the blood freely. If you put too many toxins in your system, the liver can get overloaded and it's going to shunt that stuff back into the blood, which is going to circulate further, and it's going to push excess into fat tissue. So our fat tissue is a storage for toxins the body cannot handle, that the body's overwhelmed with. And if your detox pathways are not sufficient, when you start to basically go into the storage units and clean them out, you're going to have those toxins surging through your blood and your lymph system. It's going to be kind of hard on the body. So we want to make sure the detox pathways are running well before we have any implementation of. And let's go into fat's job in our body as far as storing toxins. Fat cells store fat-loving or lipophilic toxins. So it stores heavy metals, it stores pharmaceuticals, PFAS, which are forever chemicals. It stores organic pollutants, and that would be like garden and cleaning chemicals, building supplies, you know, the fire retardant on furniture and curtains. That's all kind of a fat-loving toxin that the body will hold on to, and you'll have persistent organic pollutants or POPs, and they bioaccumulate in food and glyphosate. The glyphosate in our bodies, or the glyphosate in our food, will accumulate in our tissue, and those are called POPs or persistent organic pollutants. And then there's also volatile organic compounds or VOCs. And they're going to affect your inside air. So if you don't use zero VOC paints or floor coverings, all the convenient plastic decking and plastic tiles on the floor and laminate countertops and things like that all have volatile organic compounds that will be off-gassing for years to come. And those can accumulate in your tissue, and they guess where they get to store so that they're not too overwhelming for your body. They're going to store in your fat. And there's been some really good research recently on how we are truly expelling fat from our tissue, from our body. And it's been found out that it comes out our breath. As CO2, as carbon dioxide, comes out of our breath. And what's important is that we have that max ventilation, where you're breathing deeply in and out. So that real good, kind of hard exercise is what will eliminate fat from the body. And the only way to eliminate fat is through the breath, which sounds crazy, but that is the real most cutting-edge science about this, is that the breath work is what's going to eliminate fat. And we might be releasing toxins into our bloodstream, causing headaches, nausea, skin eruptions, and this leads to other symptoms as well if we are not truly using our detox pathways well. And let's go through the ways that we can really ramp up or detox our detox pathways well. First and foremost, let's work hard to eliminate environmental and food toxins. So let's have non-processed foods. Make sure you're eating foods that are, oh gosh, how do I say this? You want to make sure that you're having organic fruits and vegetables, organic meats or grass-fed meats would be the best. Making sure that your cereals and your grains are organic and they don't have seed oils in them. And that's a start. And then if you can also do the same thing for your home environment and your garden, where you're not putting glyphosates on your garden, on your grasses and on your vegetables. And then in your home, if you're not using volatile organic compounds in your paints and your carpets and your curtains and your furniture, that's a great way to not start loading up on toxins in the body. And then the other thing, we talked about sweat before. So saunas 3 times a week, or sports that make you sweat 3 times a week is at least the minimum recommended. Sunshine on your skin and in your eyes is an important way to ramp up your detox. Grounding with your bare feet on the grass. Does any of this sound familiar? We've been talking about this on all the other shows. So, bare feet on the grass, or if your feet are on the ground in a creek or a lake or in the ocean. Dry skin brushing to stimulate the lymph and the glymphatic system. The glymphatic system is our detox pathways or our detox system in our brain. We have lymph nodes in our brain that are the detox pathways for the brain. So skin brushing can really help that. And then, of course, brushing your hair or your head to get that stimulated in the head as well. Tongue scraping, near infrared light. So let's talk about near infrared and far infrared. Near infrared is infra means you can't see it, but it's the heat coming off of things. So a hot shower, a hot bath, and then brooding lights or a wood burning stove. Or any kind of heat that way is infrared because it's heat, right? What is it called? The light bulbs, the incandescent light bulbs, the old light bulbs have some heat coming off of that that is actually good for our bodies. So, infrared is an important tool to help our bodies detox, and using, even a wood stove, like being in front of a wood stove on a regular basis, or using brooding light, like a light panel that has brooding lights in it, would be a very useful way to get your body to have enough of the sweating process and the heating up and the mitochondrial lift. A mini trampoline or a vibrating plate, laughter, walking, massage and chiropractic and yoga. That's for movement of tissue, PEMF, and eating fiber-rich fruits and vegetables to get the gut going, and then waking up with the sun and going to bed, or keeping things dark after dark, and then turn off your Wi-Fi at night. And then wear natural fiber clothing to connect to the earth is best. Okay, so we've gone through the importance of detox pathways so that now you have a sense of whether your body is ready for a detox, right? If you're sweating well, if you've got strategies for breathing, all these things will make it where a liver, gallbladder detox and flush could be successful for you. And so we're going to move on to the actual talk about liver and detox, liver and kidney and gallbladder detoxing. And I highly recommend you read a book by Andres Moritz. It's called The Liver and Gallbladder Miracle Cleanse, an all-natural at-home flush to purify and rejuvenate your body. And what's interesting is Mr. Moritz spends at least half of this book describing why regular liver flushing is absolutely necessary for maintaining vital health. And it's an important way to, he points out that every disease we're familiar with, all these modern diseases of metabolic disease and cancers and things like that, are things that he feels strongly, and he shows in research in this book, that you can avoid by doing regular liver and gallbladder flushing. Mr. Moritz talks at the beginning of this book about symptoms that you might have have numerous gallstones in your liver and gallbladder. And he talks about, we all know about gallstones, but there are liver stones. We have ducts, and I'll describe these ducts more specifically in a little bit. We have ducts in our liver that are kind of the highways or the main streets of the liver, and there can be stones in the liver as well as a gallbladder. And he describes some symptoms that you might have that describe that you might have numerous gallstones in your liver and gallbladder. And he speaks about low appetite, food cravings, digestive disorders, diarrhea, constipation, clay-colored stool, a hernia, flatulence, hemorrhoids, dull pain in the right side, difficulty breathing, liver cirrhosis, hepatitis, most infections, high cholesterol, pancreatitis, heart disease, brain disorders, duodenal ulcers, that's okay, nausea and vomiting, and a bilious or angry personality, and then depression. He talks about impotence and other sex problems, prostate diseases. I mean, it just keeps going on. Joint issues, knee problems, osteoporosis, liver spots, muscle tone loss. There's so many things. Nightmares, difficulty sleeping, scoliosis, frozen shoulder, stiff neck, asthma. And as far as that frozen shoulder thing, one thing I've noticed when I was doing detoxing way back is that whenever somebody had a shoulder issue, whether it was an injury like me, I've had ski injuries on my shoulder, that even if it's an injury, that it improves with a liver flush. When you clean out your liver, there's not the pulling, especially the right side, there's not the pulling on the gallbladder and the liver that's pulling down on your shoulder. And somehow that improves the symptoms some, which is nice. So one of the biggest jobs of the liver is to produce bile, and it produces 1 to 1.5 quarts per day. And bile is basically like a soap. It's a yellow, brown, or green fluid that is alkaline and has a bitter taste to it. If you were to have it come up the wrong way into your throat, that bitter taste is bile. And without sufficient bile, most commonly eaten foods remain undigested or poorly digested. And so, bile is the emulsifier or the soap that breaks up fat into tiny particles so that our body can digest it. And that's its biggest job with digestion. But it's also deacidifying the liver. When there's too many toxins, It helps with cleaning out the tissue well. So it is truly a detergent for our stomach, our, I'm not our stomach, our liver and our small intestines. And if we go back up, so basically your mouth and your stomach are before your liver, but there's an effect on whether those areas are working properly. If your liver isn't working well, you can have mouth ulcers. You can have other issues in your gums and your teeth because your liver isn't functioning well and your bile isn't functioning well. And the same thing with digestion. So your stomach is before your liver in the pathway, but your stomach might have issues. And like I said earlier, if you've had a problem of a real serious problem with your liver, you can actually have bile go the other way and go up into the stomach, and it can be a really bad taste in the mouth. And there can be some issues in the mouth that are based on the toxicity in the intestines and the accumulation of undigested waste matter in the intestines. Thrush and herpes of the mouth can be a sign that your intestines are full of too many toxins. We haven't addressed the issues with the pancreas as well. One thing to observe is that there's always a connection between liver and gallbladder and any issues with diabetes. So if your liver isn't working well and flushing out toxins, you're going to have effects on the pancreas, which is where we have issues with insulin. And it's usually type 2 diabetes is that the insulin receptors are hard of hearing is what I call it. You need more effect of insulin to lower your blood sugar. And so if your liver and gallbladder are flushing well on a regular basis, you will have less chance of having metabolic disease and diabetes. And so the intestines as well, which is past the liver now, we're going to talk about some of the issues that can be caused by the liver not functioning well. So since the presence of bile in the intestines is an essential form of absorption of life essential fats, calcium, and vitamin K, gallstones can lead to life-threatening diseases such as heart disease, osteoporosis, and cancer. And the liver uses the fat-soluble vitamin K to produce. And calcium is essential for hardening of bone and teeth and the coagulation of blood and the mechanism of muscle contraction, right? So your muscles contract because of calcium. And of course, we know about blood clotting and bone and teeth health. And so poor bile secretion can therefore undermine the uptake of calcium and a mineral the body requires for some of the most vital activities. So our bile is going to determine how well our body receives and works with calcium. And besides kind of the small intestines and the kidneys and of course the liver, you've got issues with the nervous system as well as fertility. And it has to do with the lymph system. For women, it's in the majority of our lymph is up high, so it's around the breast tissue. But we do have lymph around our sex organs and a sluggish liver or a liver and gallbladder that can't flow will really affect the hormones and can also lower your libido and have infertility issues and genetic mutations, cells leading to cancer as well. So it's important to have the liver functioning to allow the sexual organs. And for men, it's interesting because continuous restriction of lymph drainage from the male pelvic area causes benign and malignant prostate enlargement as well as inflammation of the testes and sex organs. So, what's important is to have the lymph flowing. And if we're not, that's, we're talking about detox pathways again here, but also to have the liver and gallbladder flowing and flushing to make sure that we have this all functioning well, like a Swiss clock. And how does Mr. Moritz talk about signs that you might have gallstones? He talks about for the skin, you might have black spots and small or large brown patches on your skin. He says vertical wrinkles between the eyebrows, pimples or growths of hair between eyebrows, horizontal wrinkles across the bridge of the nose, green or dark color of the temple area and at the side of the head, and oily skin in the area of the forehead. Excessive perspiration is also part on the head, is you might have gallstones then, and yellow color of facial skin. He also talks about hair loss in the central region of the head, the nose, he says hardening and thickening at the tip of the nose, or if the nose is constantly red, and if the nose is bending toward the left, that's also something. And then the skin color around your eyes is also something. The skin color under the eyes is yellowish, a dark, even black color is the same in the same area is a big deal. A grayish pale color occurs in the if the kidneys and occasionally the lungs are malfunctioning. And water-containing bags under the lower eyelids is also a sign of your gallbladder not working well. And then if you can look in a mirror and stick out your tongue and you can see if it's coated yellow or white, especially in the back part, that is indicates that there's an imbalance in the secretion of bile. And teeth impressions on the side of the tongue, if you stick out your tongue and there's little scallops on the side, that means you're not eliminating waste well. Pimples on the tongue, cracks on the tongue, repeated mucus discharge into the throat and mouth, and bad breath and frequent burpings, crust formation at the corner of the mouth, and dark spots and patches on the lips. These are all signs that you might have gallstones that you need to deal with. So it's clear we all have some room for improvement on the ways that our body is showing that we might have liver and gallbladder stagnation. And let's go into the most common causes of gallstones. Any abnormal changes in the composition of bile affects the solubility of its constitution and hence causes gallstones. Mr. Moritz categorizes gallstones in two basic types: cholesterol stones and pigment stones. Some cholesterol stones are composed of at least 60% cholesterol and have a yellowish or tan color. Others have a pea green color and are generally soft, like putty. These consist of up to 95% cholesterol. Some stones may contain other organic fatty material. Pigment stones are brown or black owing to their color, content of the color bilirubin. They may be calcified and they are harder and more solid than cholesterol stones. However, cholesterol stones may also become hard and calcified. And so you have those two different kinds of stones that you're going to be watching for. And let's go over the bile consists of water, mucus, bile pigment, which is bilirubin, bile salts, and cholesterol. And there's also enzymes and helpful bacteria in there. And liver cells secrete this blended fluid into the micro tiny canals. And the bile canaliculi join to form larger canals that they're called the bile canaliculi, eventually connect with the right and left hepatic duct. Okay, so that now we're getting into the superhighway. And these two ducts, the right and left hepatic ducts, combine to form the common bile duct. And the common bile duct drains bile from the liver and supplies the gallbladder with the right amount of bile to emulsify the fat in your digestion. And so what the gallbladder does is it's a pocket. It's a pocket for the liver is making a quart to a quart and a half of bile on a good amount of bile for those French fries. And so it's going to, the gallbladder has the ability then to squirt out a bank of bile for the food that you're eating at that moment. And that's the whole purpose of the gallbladder, is for the food that we're eating that needs the fat emulsification. Okay, I feel like we've gotten pretty clear on all the reasons, or many of the reasons, that we might want to be motivated to do a liver and kidney and gallbladder detox with a flush at the end. And I think it's important to know this, because a liver cleanse is not necessarily the easiest thing. But I'm going to share with you the cleanse that I do with my clients. That is, it was from the Qinghai Tsang Institute years ago. There's a tea that is made with equal parts of these certain herbs, and then you do that for 3 or 4 weeks while eating a pretty responsible diet, where you're going to probably have more brothy soups, either bone broth soups or just a vegetable broth soup. That it should be watery, and you're going to be more careful with your sleeping habits and your light habits, and making sure you're getting some daylight, sun, and things like that. And that's for 3 to 4 weeks, while also doing some work with either tart cherry juice, apple juice, or taking malic acid tablets, or not caps capsules, not tablets, when if you have issues with sugar, because both of those are pretty high sugar. And the malic acid's job is to soften your stones in your liver and your gallbladder, to make them more like putty so that they can get through the smaller canals and be flushed out. So the detox that I help people through is going to be 3 to 4 weeks with these herbs. So let's go through the details of the detox that I've been doing, and then follow it up with the gallbladder flush and what's involved in that. The 3 to 4 weeks tea that you'd be doing would be burdock root, bayberry root, dandelion root, sarsaparilla, nettle leaf, and milk thistle. I also include some supplements with that. And this, what's important about this tea, the Qinghai Tsang Institute suggested not using a metal kettle for this, or a metal ladle, or a metal cup that you put it in. So we use a clay kettle on top of our stovetop to make this tea. And I make it the night before, and then let it sit in the loose tea mix all night. And in the morning, that tea settles down to the bottom, and I ladle it out into a cup. I heat it up again, usually in a glass little pot, or in that whole big clay thing. And I drink that throughout the day. Try to drink it warm. Sometimes put it in a thermos, again, not metal thermos. There's something about the metal and the kidneys and the liver, so trying to keep it out of metal is, that's why. I use some supplements from CellCore. I use a kale support, an advanced Hudka, and a lymph support. I often suggest a glutathione lotion, NAC, choline if you're having issues with digestion or with eliminating, and then an artichoke leaf extract. And then we follow this protocol for 3 weeks. And so the night before, you make the tea, and then you let that steep for 30 minutes and on the low boil before turning it off and leaving it on the stove for the night. And in the morning, I just warm it up and drink it, strain it, and drink it 3 to 4 cups throughout the day. And then the eating strategy for this is to, for this detox, is to have an eating window and a fasting window. So you're going to be intermittent fasting as well, for this cleanse. And the eating window is between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. That would be the most conservative version of it. So the fasting window would be from 6 p.m. to 9 a.m., which is a 15-hour fast. If you can handle more fasting, you can move down the 6 p.m., but don't move up the 9 a.m., meaning start eating in the morning. It's important to eat in the morning, and perhaps finish your food at 4 p.m., and then you'll have a 17-hour fast instead of a 15-hour fast. You're welcome to be drinking teas, herbal teas, not caffeinated, throughout the day and evening. Just not eating after dark is very, very important. That's part of how our liver gets overtaxed, is if we're eating when the sun isn't out. Midday is your best time of day for eating, kind of heavier foods. During this detox, I'm going to suggest you do fresh fruits and vegetables, cold pressed vegetable juices, brothy soups, and then if you're eating meat, fish, chicken, or bone broths if you desire a meat protein, and then limit or eliminate processed foods. Some examples might be rice and lentils you could be eating, steamed broccoli, salads. Maybe you'll eat some lightly cooked fish or chicken with some rice and some steamed vegetables or some sauteed vegetables. Using olive oil only, cold, don't cook with it. These are ways you can make sure that you're getting easily digested foods that your liver will appreciate and not have a lot of work to do, right? And the reason we're doing an eating window and a fasting window is when we're not digesting, our body is doing its own detoxing. So even outside of a detox strategy, it is a good idea to be intermittent fasting on a regular basis. One thing to note is if you're intermittent fasting and you get hangry, you have a harder time, not eating, not because you just feel like eating, but you get really, really, really hungry. You are probably processing sugar and not ketones, and it would be something to go to your practitioner and see if you have the ability to get that working properly for yourself. Because if you're burning sugar, you're going to have a harder time with intermittent fasting, for one, and it will move into metabolic syndrome or diabetes because you're burning sugar and not burning ketones. So it would be good, in this case, you'll be learning how to eat just during the day, two or three meals a day between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. And then after 6 p.m., you're just going to be drinking water or tea throughout the evening and then going to bed with your stomach completely empty. Which is a really great way to go to sleep, is with your stomach not processing food. So if you're going to bed at least at 9 p.m., you'll have 3 hours where you weren't eating. That's perfect. It'll make it so your body is going to sleep and having the ability to detox instead of digest, digest, digest. And a little science behind the products or some of the herbs. So milk thistle contains compounds collectively known as silymarin, and it's a group of flavonoids which have been shown to protect the liver cells from toxic substances. And so what's interesting is that as you're detoxing, you're taking some of these herbs and some of these products to protect the liver. Milk thistle is one of those. NAC, or N-acetylcysteine, is the precursor to the powerful antioxidant glutathione, which helps neutralize cell-damaging free radicals that cause inflammation and fatty buildup in the liver. Glutathione's job is to clean out the cell. So it's a micro cleaner of the cell. It pushes toxins out of the cell and into the lymph system. So NAC is a precursor to glutathione, so it's helping your body produce more glutathione. So it's a good thing to be taking while you're detoxing. Milk thistle, it also does protect the liver, and it filters toxins from the blood. It helps filter toxins from the blood with digestion. You have the ability to use choline as a way to make sure that your body is detoxing, is eliminating. And dandelion are rich in antioxidants, which help protect the liver again against free radical damages and the inflammation that follows. In addition, it supports the production of bile, which aids in the efficient digestion of fats and their expulsion from the body. You want to look for formulas that contain dandelion root rather than the extract of the entire plant, as the root has the higher concentration of liver cleansing compounds. Artichoke, which I suggest as a supplement as well, it's in the milk thistle family. Artichoke contains silymarin as well, and another similar compound called cinerin, which these are antioxidants to help promote digestion, promote optimal liver function. Other compounds help improve bile flow and to flush toxins out of the body. Artichoke leaf extracts are rich in liver protective flavonoids, while extracts of the stem and root are less so. And in the kit that I usually work with people, I'm also going to usually suggest L-ornithine. I talked about kale support through CellCore. It's a product that is just supportive overall to the liver and kidneys. Advanced TUDCA, which is a bile acid production. It helps with bile acid production. If you have no gallbladder, I'm going to suggest you use Advanced TUDCA on a regular basis. And then there is something called IS Boost Tincture. It's a parasite tincture that you could be doing while you're flushing. Might pull out some little critters. Biotoxin Binder is just a way to capture the toxins that are coming through into the bloodstream and help capture them so that they go out the bowel system. And then Bowel Mover, which is if you have slow digestion, it'll help. And then if there's some side things that you're going to be needing besides that, you could use a castor oil pack, an organic castor oil. My favorite is from a woman. She makes something called Queen of Thrones. She makes an organic cotton castor oil pack, and then she sells organic castor oil in a glass bottle. And I suggest that you can get that on Amazon if you want to. I talked about tart cherry juice, or if you can't handle the sugar of tart cherry juice or apple juice. Both of those have the compound in it. It's escaping me right now. Oh my gosh. Malic acid. You could also take malic acid in a capsule form if that's not something you can do, is the cherry juice or the apple juice, if that's counterproductive for your blood sugar levels, which is probably the case for most of us. You can just buy malic acid in a capsule form and use that. That would be starting the last week before you do your flush. So if you're doing a 4-week cleanse, 3 weeks will be the herbs, and then you'd add the tart cherry juice, the apple juice, or the malic acid the 4th week. And what you're doing then is you're just softening up those gallstones or liver stones to make them more like putty so that they can clear out easy. And then for the detox or the flush itself, after you've done the 3 weeks of tea and the 4th week of the malic acid with the tea, then the end of that week, you're going to need pink grapefruit juice on hand. You're going to need some Epsom salt, and you're going to need some organic olive oil. And so at the end of the fourth week, that's when you're going to prepare for the gallbladder flush. And the gallbladder flush, you're going to need to give yourself a few days for this, okay? So I would suggest it's the night before, the gallbladder flush starts the night before, and then the next day you have to be available at a bathroom at all times and not have any interruption and have kind of just a quiet day. Do not plan anything that day. You're probably going to be in the clear around noon, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but that morning for sure, do not have any plans. Do not have any appointments. This is a time you're basically inducing a purge. So you're going to be, for lack of a better term, pooping a lot, a lot. And it's not for the faint of heart. It is something you're going to be doing. And the way Mr. Moritz talks about it is if you do this liver detox or this liver purge and your body is feels good for a couple of days and then it feels kind of sluggish again, you are a candidate to do this cleanse, as far as he says, once every 6 weeks, do the purge until you're in the clear. And he says you could do this, so you do the purge, and then you'd start up some of this tea again. The tea is something you can do on the regular for quite a while. And then do your malic acid the week before, and then purge again. And you do that for a while. You can do that not just in the spring and the fall, but you could do that all throughout the summer as a way to get your body really going. Sometimes you clear out some of the stones and not all of the stones. And so you want to do this on a regular basis for a little while to get to the point where you have your liver truly functioning well. You'll do yourself a major favor. Okay, so what does it look like for the purge? So the night before, let's say you're going to do this on a Saturday and you have nobody there. Hopefully there's two bathrooms in the house and your family members can use the other bathroom, and that bathroom is yours for the day. And what you're going to do is the night before, you're going to put together a concoction. What you're going to do is you're going to stop eating by 1 o'clock that afternoon. Let's say it's a Friday. Okay. So by Friday at 1 o'clock, you'll have stopped eating, and you won't eat anything that day that has any fat in it. You want to have a very, fat-free. So that would mean no meat, no dairy, breakfast and lunch. So that might suggest, I might suggest like some rice with some steamed vegetables. You can put some salt on it too, but you do not want to have any fat for that morning. You're going to be done eating at 1 o'clock and you're not eating for the rest of that day. And then what you're doing is you're going to have in the evening around 8 o'clock, you're going to put together 1 to 2 large grapefruits, pink grapefruits. You're going to get enough juice to squeeze a half a cup of juice. And then you're going to add that to, in a jar, in a lid with a half a cup of organic olive oil. You can put a little bit of honey in that if you want to. And that's going to just sit there. That's what's in that jar. Okay. And right before bed, you're going to be drinking this. But before you do that, you're going to have a jar with Epsom salt, and you can make one concoction, and it's going to last you for the whole cycle. And this is important to hear. You're going to put 4 tablespoons of Epsom salt into 3 cups of hot water. It's got to be good filtered water, and you're going to let that sit, and you're going to drink a third of a cup of that concoction. One at 6 o'clock in the evening on Friday night, and one at 8 o'clock in the evening on Friday night. And then right before bed, you've already brushed your teeth, you're ready to lay down, you're gonna drink that grapefruit juice, olive oil mix, and lay down immediately. And after you lay down immediately, you're gonna let the body lay there flat on your back for at least a half an hour before you go to sleep. After a half an hour, hopefully you can just fall asleep right then, and you're ready to go to sleep. That night you might need to use the bathroom, get up and use the bathroom, but in the morning for sure you're going to wake up and you're going to have very, very, very liquid bowel movements. It's because of the Epsom salt. The Epsom salt's job is to open up the portals. So it's going to open up the gallbladder, it's going to open up the liver, all the vessels, it's going to open it up to make a clear passage for those gallstones, as well as the bile that's in your gallbladder and things like that. So you're going to see in the toilet, you're going to see this green mix, and you're going to see these little balls of green or brown or yellow floating on the top of the water, and that is your gallstones. And you should see anywhere from 100 to 400 or more of those on this purge. Okay? So you're going to then, the next morning, you still have to drink two more of those 1/3 cups of Epsom salt. First thing at 6:30 in the morning, and then at 8 in the or 6 in the morning and 8 in the morning, you're going to do the same thing. Drink that. You might wake up to do that and go back to bed because it doesn't feel that great. You're going to feel like you're going through a cold or a flu or something like that as your liver purges. Okay. So you drink down that Epsom salt. It tastes like crap. It's nasty. And you do that first thing in the morning at 6, and then again at 8 in the morning. And then you're done with the what you have to take in, and now your body's just going to purge. Okay, so you're going to use the bathroom as many times as you need to. Promise you it's going to be a lot. And then from there, you're going to, right around noon or so, you could start drinking or eating something other than water. Okay. Yeah. So that's, oh, and I didn't tell you that night you might put a castor oil pack on your liver side, which is your right side over your ribs. You could put a castor oil pack on your belly for the night. And that's it. I've gone through what a liver and kidney and gallbladder flush is, and I'm wanting to save this for you to use anytime you need to. You can reach out to me and we can have a consultation on this detox. I can share with you the herbs if you need to, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, reach out to me if you'd like to. And otherwise, save this video or save this audio as something you can use spring and fall on the regular, but also for if you want to do this regularly for the next 5 or 6 sessions to really improve your health. And I want to hear all about it. Maybe not the details of what's in the toilet, but all about how well you're progressing in this process. This is not a danger to anyone, but I do suggest you have your practitioner, your trusted practitioner, help you walk through it. Make sure you're hydrated enough. Oh, another product that I really love is sea moss as a way to help you with the minerals that you need throughout the cleanse and really on a daily basis. I use true sea moss. There's a lot of nice flavors in there. And otherwise, I'm just going to suggest that you read the book from Andreas Moritz, The Liver and Gallbladder Miracle Cleanse, and advocate for yourself and get yourself going on this detox. This is a great way to avoid every Western person's disease state. All the diseases that we see in society we can really eliminate with a liver kidney detox. And other than that, my name once again is Dr. Eileen Karpfinger. I'm your host here at High Latitude Healthy, and I look forward to hearing from you and hearing all about your detox journey and wishing you well, yours in health.
High Latitude Healthy, and all the show notes can be found at wdrt.org, and as well on Spotify, YouTube, and on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Find us and follow us to keep up with our interviews, and if you'd like to email Dr. Eileen, email her at highlatitudehealthy@gmail.com. Here's to living High Latitude Healthy.